President Trump is campaigning in Arizona today. Last night, he rallied supporters in Montana, where he joked about the state's congressman, Greg Gianforte, body slamming a reporter who was covering last year's special election.
And by the way, never wrestle him. You understand that? Never. Any guy that can do a body slam, he's my kind.
That happened as world headlines are focusing on the suspected murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. On his way to that rally yesterday, Trump said it would be very sad if Khashoggi is dead, and the president promised very severe consequences for U.S. ally Saudi Arabia if it was involved in murder. Our Friday Politics Roundtable joins us Beth Fooey, senior politics editor for NBC News and MSNBC. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
And Tolu Olorunipa, White House correspondent for Bloomberg. Hi, Tolu.
Hey there.
And Tolu, let me start with you. What is your sense of how conflicted the White House is on getting tough on Saudi Arabia as more and more disturbing details come out every day about what might have happened to Khashoggi?
Yeah, the White House is really being sort of forced to take a tough stance, in part because members of Congress, members of the president's own party, are speaking out about what happened in Turkey against this journalist who is an American resident. We've heard the president and people in the White House say, oh, this isn't an American citizen and, you know, this happened in another country. But this is someone who was working as a journalist in America and someone who was expressing his freedom of speech and apparently was murdered for it by government officials of a U.S. ally. So the president has said that he is going to wait for the Saudis and the Turks to get to the bottom of this with an investigation. But it's looking more and more like he's going to be pressured into taking action by Congress. We saw that happen last year with Russia. The president did not want to sanction Russia. He wanted to have a better relationship with Vladimir Putin. But Congress, in a bipartisan overwhelming vote, passed new sanctions against election meddling targeting Russia, and the president was forced to sign it. And it's looking more and more like the president sees that fate and is trying to position himself as potentially being tougher on on the Saudis for what happened in Turkey.
Well, and Beth, one of the reasons the president is so conflicted about this is because the U.S. has a very important strategic relationship with Saudi Arabia, very important economic relationship. They own a lot of U.S. government bonds, a big oil producer. They invest heavily in U.S. companies. There's a lot at stake here for the United States if it does get really tough on Saudi Arabia.
That's right. And it's also that what President Trump sees as an important strategic partnership in terms of responding to Iran and what President Trump feels is a very strong Iran threat. So there are many, many reasons why President Trump has been reluctant to dig in on this and to take action against the Saudis. Yes, we're waiting allegedly for some report that's going to come out in the next day or so from the Saudis about what they say happened. And yesterday, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo made it sound as though, you know, whatever they have to say will be something that the White House takes, you know, very seriously, whether they buy it entirely.
Yeah, exactly. There'll have to be questions about whether or not you can trust that report coming from the Saudis.
Of course. The idea that they are going to be policing themselves on this is kind of on its face a bit absurd. But what I think what the Saudis didn't bargain for in all of this is that it's not just President Trump who gets to have a say in how to respond. There's several hundred people up on Capitol Hill of both parties who are going to have a say as well. And what we've heard so far is a bipartisan condemnation of this act and a promise from even some of President Trump's stalwart allies in the Republican Party, Senator Marco Rubio, Lindsey Graham, others, that there will be a consequence paid if it's clear that the Saudis did this.
Tolu, I want to ask you about what we heard at the open of this segment, the president making light of this body slamming incident in Montana's special election last year, in light of the Khashoggi story that we're talking about now. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's in bad taste at any time for the president to celebrate criminal action by a member of Congress, specifically criminal action, including violence against a journalist. It's an especially bad taste to do it right after a foreign government apparently took the life of a journalist on foreign soil by luring him into a Turkish consulate. Now, this is something that the president is trying to, you know, motivate his voters, and it was met with cheers and applause by the people who were at his rally in Montana. And he's realized that a lot of these rallies are no longer getting the type of live coverage that they used to. So he has to mix it up a little bit more and be a little bit more edgy and more controversial. But this is something that is causing headaches for Republicans across the country who are struggling to figure out a message for these midterms, and having to answer questions about the president celebrating violence against a journalist is not something that they want to be doing right before a midterm.
Okay, well, let's talk about the midterms here. This is President Trump giving kind of his closing argument.
This will be an election of Kavanaugh, the caravan, law and order, and common sense. That's what it's going to be.
Okay, so that's the president. And then here is one of the key Democrats running for office, Beto O'Rourke in Texas. He's the Democrat who's facing Ted Cruz. He's had a debate with Ted Cruz, and then he did a town hall. Here he is this week giving kind of his closing argument.
The bitterness, the partisanship, the pettiness, the dishonesty that defines so much of the national conversation, we are in desperate need right now of inspiration.
Beth, who has the edge right now going into the midterms just a couple weeks away?
Well, it's very frustrating for many Republicans that President Trump continues to sort of switch messages. They really want him talking about the strong economy, the low unemployment rate, the soaring Dow. Although we've seen some ups and downs in the Dow recently, it's generally quite high. He keeps diverting from that message onto other things. And yes, to some degree, the caravan and such will motivate some Republican voters, as will the Kavanaugh hearings. But it's not the most positive message that the Republicans want him to be put forward and to have to sort of switch gears all the time and follow whatever President Trump is saying at any given MAGA rally is a little bit head spinning. On the other hand, is that sort of message of inspiration and hope from Beto O'Rourke the prevailing Democratic message? I wouldn't say so. That's a good message for him, for his brand, as he's trying to kind of go for that very unifying
Obama
positive
style brand.
Yeah,
really.
The sort of Obama style from 2007. But really, out in the states, what we're mostly seeing is Democrats talking about health care. They feel like that is the winning message. That's what voters want to talk about. They're very concerned that protections for pre-existing conditions will be removed from insurance plans if Republicans get back in there. So Democrats are really trying to stay focused on that. So we will see who's got the stronger message in just a couple of weeks.
But Tolu, we are seeing reporting this week that Republicans are starting to feel just a little bit more confident heading into November. I mean, do you think they have any reason to be?
Well, they did see the Kavanaugh hearings as a net positive for them in terms of the enthusiasm gap. We've seen incredible enthusiasm among Democrats over the past couple of years in special elections and in the election in Virginia, high turnout rates, and we haven't seen that matched by Republicans. They believe that the Kavanaugh hearings helped to bring some of those Republicans on board and make them more enthusiastic. It's hard to tell how much of that is spin versus actual polling and numbers that will actually manifest in turnout. I think the Democrats still have the edge just because they obviously have history on their side, but there's so much angst about President Trump, so much motivation to get out and send him a message. And we've already started to see some numbers in early voting that shows that Democrats are turning out in high numbers. Now, we'll have to wait and see if that sustains itself throughout the next couple of weeks and on Election Day. But right now, the Democrats do have the edge.
So one thing that we have not been able to talk about because it just keeps getting overshadowed by other news is what happened with Nikki Haley. You know, she's left her job as the UN ambassador for the United States. And then she said this last night at the Al Smith dinner.
In our toxic political environment, I've heard some people in both parties describe their opponents as enemies or evil. In America, our political opponents are not evil.
Okay, Beth, what do you read into that about Nikki Haley?
Nikki Haley has a political future. She wants a political future, and she is staking out her own territory separate and apart from the president. She's actually played this pretty smart. I mean, her whole stint in the cabinet was a very smart way for her to get herself out there and get a national reputation, get an international reputation without being too closely tied to the president. Physically, she was distant from him. She was up in New York when he's down in Washington. She would stake out positions at the UN that actually contradicted things that he would say in Washington on Russia and other topics. And now she's basically walking away from the cabinet on her own terms to set up her own political life in the future. I do not believe that she intends to run against him in 2020. Mm. She says she won't. There's no reason for her to do so, but she's a young woman, and she's got quite a future. And she, what we saw last night was her staking that out for the years to come.
Tolu, that means if she doesn't run in 2020, and it does seem a stretch that she might, if she doesn't, she has to stay relevant for a very long time.
Yeah, that's the case, and she plans to do that. She said she was going to campaign for President Trump in 2020, but she's also making these statements that are very much contradicting what the president has said. The president has called his political opponents evil. He's called the press the enemy of the people, and she's staking out a position that's very different from that. So she's trying to figure out how to stay relevant. She could pursue higher office or pursue the Senate, some have said, between now and 2024. But I think her political brand is so hot that she could remain relevant throughout the next several years as a surrogate and as a campaign supporter for not only President Trump, but other Republicans who want to have a more moderate and welcoming version of conservatism in contrast to the president.
That is Tolu Olorunipa with Bloomberg and Beth Fooey, senior politics editor for NBC News and MSNBC. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
And by the way, we'll be in Florida next week broadcasting ahead of the election. Some big races there.